So maybe this, what my presentation is an attempt at a prosthetic memory. I'm not sure. At least this little story that I'm going to share with you here about this gathering that that I was kind of the leader of, I guess you could say, had to do with trying to regenerate some sense of community and so forth here. Oops, wrong one. Okay. As we all know, or whether you were there at the time or not.
Let me just turn back on for you.
Oh, okay. Looks great here, I can tell you that. So.
Turn around, Mary.
Yes, it's black.
So anyway, in October of 96, I got a group of road friends together in Cleveland, Ohio, to try to recapture some of the energy and community and fill the void, if you will, of no tours anymore, okay? Even though we'd had the first Further Festival in the summer of 96, we didn't have any fall tour, and there were no shows, as we well know. No tours, no sense of, and the sense of community was beginning to fade. We didn't have those shows to look forward to, that excited anticipation. So in order to recreate a little bit of that, we had what we thought was our first annual gathering, and then I started coming here, I guess, and so that kind of filled my void at any rate. So we labeled ourselves the Deadheads for Peace, because when I went to buy a block of tickets for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they needed a name, and so Deadheads for Peace seemed as good as anything. So that's what we called ourselves. And this was an effort to fill the void there, to reconnect with touring friends, to share remembrances, share the music, because we, as you'll see from our agenda and what we did, we really did try to recreate a lot of the community and the music as well, and most important, the community. So we got together on a Friday evening at a hotel much like this one, checked in, rendezvoused, had a social gathering, and decorated our party suite. We had a party suite, and I'll show you a couple of pictures from that. Saturday morning, we got up, had breakfast together, and then we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, toured that for the day, came back, had a communal dinner, and then sat around and spent the evening together reminiscing. I'd asked everybody to fill out a survey, and I'll share the results of those surveys. I kept all this stuff all these years and wondered why, and then it suddenly occurred to me, I could do a Rebecca Adams on this little thing, so that's what I've done. I'm sorry Rebecca's not here. So anyway, I'll fill in the void of Rebecca's absence today with this. So unfortunately, we even have video. I had video of part of these remembrances, but I didn't have the technological skills to cut it up into little bits and pieces and include little clips of it. So anyway, we did show Grateful Dead videos then in the evening after we'd had our storytelling, I guess you could say. Sunday morning we had breakfast and said our farewells. So we had 25 Deadheads coming from all over the country, believe it or not. Six from Kansas, two from Indiana, one from California, six from New York, two from New Jersey, three from Ohio, one from South Carolina, and four from Missouri. So pretty across the board representation here, and here we were meeting in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, this was a group of us having cocktails. Now this is breakfast before we departed on Sunday. The gentleman in the white shirt here, this guy right here, Bart Beachley is his name. He taught me all about recording. He took me to my very first Grateful Dead show in June 16th, 1974, Des Moines, Iowa. He dragged me to it, kicking and screaming. Changed my life, that bastard. And I dragged him kicking and screaming to his very last show, July 6th, 1995. Okay, so we both kind of closed the circle together. It was kind of a wonderful day. Taught me, as I said, all about recording. Wonderful group of folks there. This is John Nye, who wrote the poem in the back of the caucus program today, who's not with us, but he was there. David Hobble right here came about 4 years ago, I guess it was. So some carryover here, as you might see, okay? A different shot, more folks, good friends, still good friends. Mike Whitten came a few years ago also. My wife, Chris, was here also. That's me, it's hard to believe, but that's what I looked like 11 years ago.
What happened?
That's what I keep asking myself, Gary, I'd like to know. This is a picture of the party suite, part of it. It was a huge suite, much bigger than our party room here, so we did all sorts of decorations. Friday evening, we walked around and walked down to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just to check out Cleveland a little bit. This is what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame looks like at night, at least it did 11 years ago. I haven't been back since there. It was Saturday morning as we were all getting ready to go in and take a tour of it. Okay. All right. So then.
Wait, who is the person?
This is a statue.
Oh.
Okay. Fooled you. Fooled us too. I tried to bump a light, but they didn't have anything. So. So anyway, Saturday night then we got together after we had dinner, and like I said, I'd sent out questionnaires and asked everybody to fill out these questionnaires just to, so we could share tour stories and just rebuild that sense of community. So had it broken down into sections on this questionnaire, and first section was going down the road, and this included how many shows did you see, what was your first show, where was it, how many shows did you see in a year, what's the furthest distance that you traveled to a show. So here's the Rebecca Adams part, okay? Number of shows attended, the minimum number out of these folks that filled out their surveys, 2, the maximum 603, right? The mean was 163, and the median was 150. Okay, so these were all serious tour folks, right? Okay. Then in terms of date and location of your first shows, the earliest one there, this was Del Hamrick, who hosted the Grateful Dead Hour in Kansas City for a number of years. So there's the Gans connection. It all ties together, folks. It's just amazing. Okay. So the earliest show, the first person, that was Del. He'd seen him at Sierra College there. It was a free show in May of 69. And then we had a newbie there who their first show was July 5th, 95.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so you can see the range here. First shows, several folks have been around. That was me there, June 16th, 74. My wife, she was 87. That was her. Okay. Mike Whitten, I think he was 72. Anyway, so quite a range there. Quite a range. Okay. Most shows attended in 1 year. The minimum number was 1. Okay. The maximum was 73. I think that's close to all of them that year. I don't know what year it was. I know who it was, but the mean was 20, and the median was 14. So serious folks. Wow. Greatest distance traveled to a show. Minimum distance was 250 miles. That was from Kansas City to St. Louis, I'm sure. Maximum, 3,900 miles from Cleveland to Paris.
Well, that's the minimum greatest distance, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, okay. The minimum greatest distance, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Jake, for the clarification there. And the median, okay, mean was 1,768 miles, and median was 2,000. That, of course, we got those outliers, and they skew the numbers, so... Interesting stuff there. Okay, then I see you got your list out. That was the next category here. And so how many tapes in your collection? And this shows you immediately how things have changed in 11 years. Nobody has tapes anymore. You got a hard drive. And how full is it? So, but we had tapes in those days and T-shirts too. So minimum number of tapes in the collection was 3 to a maximum of over 2,000. Mean of 511 and 450 was the median. Okay. Then in terms of the T-shirts... Somebody had the audacity to show up and had no Grateful Dead t-shirts. Can you believe that? With a maximum number of 100 t-shirts in their collection, a mean of 30 and a median of 30 also. So, okay. Then remembrances, and this was the really fun part. This is where we really got to telling stories. And we gave prizes, by the way. We had all sorts of dead memorabilia. We had we voted on all these categories and gave prizes to the winners of the strangest place you ever heard a dead song, the strangest place you ever met a deadhead, closest encounter you ever had with a band member. Okay, so some of the strange places that the people had heard dead songs were in a grocery store, the Muzak system, in an elevator, in a church, rural Mississippi, driving through Mississippi, and heard somebody jamming and playing a dead song. A sushi bar. I'm not sure, I can't remember what this Denny's Peking train means. I'm not sure what it is, but... whoever wrote it was stoned, or I was stoned when I wrote this up, I don't know. And a Mexico bar. Strangely enough, I remember hearing Shakedown Street at when we met in Old Town at the earlier site for the PCA. There's a Walgreens not far from there, and I heard Shakedown Street one night when we were during our conference. I went in there, and it was playing on their Muzak system. So. Yes. Strangest place you ever met a deadhead? In an underground cave, if that's not a word. Loan officer at my bank. He got the loan, too. You can imagine that. So, a retirement dinner for the company CEO. It wasn't the CEO, but it was the CFO, actually. St. Martin and top of the St. Louis Arch. Okay. And VP controller at Utica College. And somebody had been traveling in Korea and met somebody there. So... some strange places, in the strangest places, right? So, closest encounter with a band member. One of the guys there said he'd met Brent in a bar in Telluride, and in 87, those of us who had the good fortune to be in Telluride, Brent was hanging out, and there he was. Bart Beachley, my friend that I pointed out earlier, ran into the band and the whole band at Rosemont, And my wife, this was actually at the Further Festival. She was out shopping one afternoon, and Bobby and the Mint Juleps, that's who Mickey's backup group was, they were all shopping at the Body Shop, and they came, she was working there actually, and they came in, and so that was her closest encounter. Not right, I'll show you a picture here later, but another one had met Bob and Phil at breakfast in Augusta, Maine. Jerry crossed the sidewalk after the JGB show at the back door at the Boston Garden, and backstage at Sandstone. That was my close encounter. I was interviewing Healy in a room back there, and it was about the size of this, and I was sitting there talking to Healy, recording it for a play on the radio, and door opened there, and here walks Jerry, and that was as close as I ever got to Jerry. And it was weird because I had on a shirt that I'd had made that had a picture of Bobby on it. And he looked over at me. He looked over at me, and I don't know whether this is really what happened or not, but this is the way I was interpreted, and I get to do that, right? So it's my reality after all. So he walks in, and he looks over at me, talking to Healy, and here's this picture of Bobby, okay? And he leaves, and 3 or 4 minutes later, in walks Bobby. And I'm just sure Garcia says, "Hey, you better get in there. You got one of your fans." So I don't know if that's what really happened or not. But anyway. So that was my close encounter. Then this was July 4th, 1995. That's my wife, Chris, and you might recognize this guy without the beard. But okay, this was at the Ritz-Carlton Bar in St. Louis. My wife and I went down to the Arch to see the fireworks. This was after the canceled show at Deer Creek. The day before, and we were heading on here to see the shows in Riverport, and while we were sitting there watching the fireworks, we saw Vince and we saw a few of the other band members and the road crew there to see Tom Jones and others perform, and we thought, you know what, I'll bet if we showed up at the Ritz-Carlton and sat in the bar, we'd run into some of the band. And so we went over there, and by God, there was Bobby, there was Vince. Todd Rundgren was sitting at the table with these folks. And so we grabbed a camera, and the rest is history, as they say. So, remembrances, we also said that there ain't no place I'd rather be. So some of the questions here were, what was your most memorable show? What was your favorite venue? Who's your favorite opening act? So these were some of the favorite, most memorable shows. New Year's Eve, 88. Folsom Field from 72. In Boulder, Curtis Hickson Hall in Tampa from 73, Riverport, last show that several of us got to see, Cal Expo from, this was my wife's favorite show, I'll tell you.
Is that the rain show?
Yes, it is.
The rain show?
Yes. I'll tell you a story about that one in a minute.
I levitated at that show.
Did you really? Okay, well, you'll understand why this was my wife's favorite show in a little bit. So, the Palestra from Rochester, some wonderful shows there. And what can you say about Red Rocks? I think that I probably put that one up there. I levitated at that show. So, during Drums in Space, oh my God, the whole universe opened up. It was spectacular. So, okay, favorite venues, Starlight Theater in Kansas City. If you were ever there, it was a fabulous place. The Pyramid in Memphis, Red Rocks, Deer Creek, The Fox in Atlanta Theater. Yes, exactly. The Frost Amphitheater, Greek Theater, Cal Expo. Okay, who would take any of those off the list? Great places, every one of them.
First Hampton.
Nobody. Well, I know we'd had some folks there because I got a call the night that they played Dark Star as the Warlocks. I got a call in the middle of the night after they'd finished that, saying, "Hey, guess what they played? Guess what they?" So anyway, so I don't know why it wasn't on the list. Favorite opening act, New Riders, Bruce Hornsby, Bob Dylan, Santana, David Lindley, David Crosby, Ola Tunji.
Yeah.
Ola Tunji. I saw them in 85, my first New Year's run, and after they performed, I could have gone home happy. That was the most spectacular thing I'd ever seen in my life. Absolutely amazing. And I got to see him again in Telluride. Wow, what a treat. Remembrances. Okay, so while the storyteller speaks, this was another category, most memorable ticket story. And again, I'm sorry I don't have those video clips to share with you other people's, but I'll tell you my favorite memorable ticket story. My wife and I drove up to Milwaukee to see the Mecca shows in 1989. And when we got there on Saturday morning, or actually a Friday afternoon, I guess it was, we were sitting around talking with all the folks. We were hanging out, getting ready to go to the show, and somebody said, "Well, what do you think of your tickets this time?" Because we always order from GDTS, and I reached for the tickets, and I'd forgotten the tickets. I'd left them in Kansas City.
Oh, man.
This is on the weekend. How do you get your tickets from Kansas City to Milwaukee? So we did a little improvising. We bought our tickets a ticket. on an airline.
Oh my God. Uh-huh.
Oh my
so my stepson went to my wife's apartment, got the tickets, took them to the airline. They put them on the plane. We missed 15 minutes of the show.
That was
good thinking.
Depends on how much it cost you.
It wasn't that expensive. $80 or $90, but it was cheaper than buying the tickets for the whole weekend. So we had all our show. It worked out quite well. Yeah. So that was a pretty memorable ticket story. Most interesting parking lot story, Alpine Valley in 1988. This was one of my most interesting, but David Hobble told this story at our gathering. We all went together to Alpine Valley for this run of shows. It was amazing. If you went to Alpine, especially in those later years, it was mobbed. It was unbelievably packed. So when we drove into the parking lot, we parked our car, which was field. It was a field. They had multiple parking lots at Alpine, but we parked in this one, and there was this large field. And we parked, took note of where we were, went on into the show. It's pitch dark when we come out, and we try to find our landmark, and there is no landmark. And we keep looking and looking, and then we remember when we parked the car, there was a tractor that was mowing. It was mowing more parking. So we had no more landmarks. So there was thousands more cars parked there. It took us a hell of a long time to find that car. Anyway. And then Cal Expo, this is my wife's favorite tour story. It's certainly mine. This was at the rain show. My wife and I went out there for three Cal Expo shows with a day off and then three Shoreline shows. Saw six shows, 7 days, heard over 100 different songs, only two repeats out of those. That was spectacular, but that's not the best part of the story. At intermission on that rain show, because it hadn't rained yet, I'd been thinking about this for a long time. My wife and I had been dating for 5 years, lived together most of that time, and so I took the moment to suggest that on the day off between after that this Cal Expo show was over, that maybe we should go to Lake Tahoe and get married the next day. So that made it the most memorable show for her. So then, of course, when they came back from break, the first song was, Gary?
Oh, geez. Cold Rain.
Cold Rain. Yeah. So I Married Me a Wife.
Yeah.
That was the one. So it seemed very appropriate to me.
The one
and
that I remember is Looks
yes.
Like Rain.
Yes, of course. Like, absolutely. So that was the favorite tour story. So there you go. So some remembrances from trying to fill the void.